News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Well, I've got a caller on line five, so I'll go ahead and grab that. Hey, Brian from Huntsville, how you doing, man?
Doing well, and thanks for that that information about those soldiers jumping at 500 feet with only one pack.
Yeah.
Because I never did it myself. I was trained for it, but never did it. And
go ahead.
I was going to say those gentlemen jumping at that point, they also put a lot of trust in their families and the people that packed that primary chute.
Man, yeah. You always hope your riggers had a good day.
A lot of people serve there, and it's not just people that jump, and every one of them depended on the person behind them. You have a blessed day. Thanks.
Great point, Brian. Thanks, man. Appreciate your service, too. Thank you much. He's right. The parachute riggers, you hope they had a good day when they packed the chute. The jump masters, you hope they were attentive to all the details when they jumped. You know, the guy in the stick to the front and rear of you, you just hope that they were paying attention in their actions in the aircraft as well as their, you know, their procedures and protocols and actions in the air, that they didn't, they didn't screw up. You know, you see a jumper coming your way, you slip away, and you don't want a midair entanglement. I mean, there's all kinds of things you're depending upon the other people. It absolutely is. Every single jump is a trust fall if you get down to it. But that jump I talked about, no reserve. So the same guy I'm talking about, I'll just call him Dave. I won't say his whole name. He went on to be an officer. He was an E6 when I knew him. He got his commission. I think he retired as a 04, 05, had a great career. He was part of my encouragement to go to Army Pathfinder School and Ranger School. And anyway, he was a sniper with 1st Ranger Battalion, had several confirmed kills on Grenada himself. But he told me that afterwards, when 1st Ranger came back, they had their award ceremony, and that President Reagan came down to Hunter Army Airfield down near Fort Stewart in Georgia to give them a presidential unit citation, but came down there and spoke to them. So the entire, you know, the battalion is standing out there in formation, the president speaking, but he said the battalion snipers, the Secret Service took the battalion snipers and put them up in, lookout points around the parade field to assist Secret Service with, you know, covering for security. So he said, I'm up in a tree stand, like a deer's tree stand, up in a tree on the edge of the parade field, and a guy at the bottom of the tree, a Secret Service guy, would say, scan left for me, scan right, scan over here. He said at one point he was sweeping across the parade field to do what he was asked to do by the Secret Service, and all of a sudden he realized he was looking through his scope, and he had President Reagan in his crosshairs. And he said, I just could not help but think, how many people in the whole wide world have had the President of the United States in the crosshairs of a loaded sniper rifle? You know, he had no animus whatsoever. There's no issue. He just thought the irony of the moment. Of course, he said the Secret Service guy looked up and goes, what are you doing? Nothing, nothing. He just kind of scanned across and kept on his way. But my friend earned a Purple Heart on Grenada, combat jump wings, and like I said, went on to a good career. And other stories about him. There used to be always this myth about him, because back in the day, that was the guy who had been there and done that, and the rest of us had just trained for going there and doing that, but had never gone at that point. And so anytime he said something, we all stopped and listened. All right, listen, we got a full show for you. Coming up top of the next hour, my friend Senator Bill Holtzclaw, a service member himself, retired U.S. Marine, state senator. I sat on the Senate floor next to him for 8 years. Extremely conservative guy. Now he's running for his old seat again against Tom Butler, who is the person who he beat back in the day, who came back to take the seat when Bill decided not to run. Interesting dynamic in that race. Bill Holtzclaw on at 3 o'clock. And coming up next after this break, I'm going to hit the first part of the Triple Dipper. Why do we do what we do? Why do we do what we do? I mean, well, what am I talking about, Phil? Well, there's things going on right now in Alabama politics, and you may look at it and go, why do we budget like that? Why do we have to fight over gambling every year? What did the governor say? Yeah, I'm going to tell you about that here in just a minute. Full show. You guys stay tuned. I'm just saying, this Triple Dipper and the guests we got today with Bill Holtzclaw and Lou Burdett, it's going to be a full show. I love what I do. All right, folks, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. You stay tuned. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. Hey, by the way, if you find yourself getting outside of the, I like to say, our overly broad range of AM, FM capability here at WVNN, it does not matter. You can be driving, you know, out of North Alabama and still pick up our signal by simply going to our website. No matter where you are in the big wide world, just go to the World Wide Web and go to rightsideradio.org. rightsideradio.org. Click on the Listen Live tab, and you know what I always say, no matter where you is, there we is. So yeah, rightsideradio.org. It's got all kinds of stuff. And Copper, I got some news for you.
Oh yeah?
Yeah. We are well over 40,000 downloads.
Oh,
on the podcast.
Yes.
Now. Yeah. So that's on our website too, folks, rightsideradio.org. We take the show every day. Copper does a great job of sort of segmenting it out, and then Birdman takes it, uploads it into podcast form. We got almost every version of podcasting available on the website, and we have people that listen from all over the world, which is crazy to me. Our second biggest audience is still California. Hello, California. Hope you're doing well. But yeah, well over 40,000 downloads. I think we had almost 600 downloads in the last 24 hours. So anyway, that's big doings. So check it out, rightsideradio.org. That's who we are. Breaking news, I want to tell you this before I get into my triple dipper. Breaking news right now, just in the last 35, 40 minutes, it has been announced that the suspect in the major subway shooting in New York City that occurred yesterday morning has been arrested. So that's a good deal. I think his name is Frank James, and he is apparently a black man who believes that the world revolves on racism, and he chose to lash out at society by picking up a gun, putting on a gas mask, popping a smoke grenade in the subway, and began blasting people. Officials say right now at least 29 people were injured. Amazing to me right now that no one has died. 10 people are suffering gunshot wounds, 5 more still in critical but stable condition, 29 people overall injured. This guy has a long history of publishing racist and shocking, like, rant YouTube video where he just rants about society and says the most egregious things you could imagine. Talks about how there will be violence in the streets and that kind of thing. On top of that, he has a long criminal history. I mean, this is one of those guys where you look at it and go, why is he even out? But he's been arrested. He's been known to law enforcement and arrested in Wisconsin, Ohio, Pennsylvania, New Jersey, New York City. He's been arrested 9 times in New York City alone from 1992 to 1998. I mean, this guy has got a rap sheet, as long as your arm. He's 62 years old, and apparently he just finally went off the deep end, and everything that we knew about him over the years manifested itself yesterday. But he has been arrested, and that's good doings, and glad that the NYPD was able to get that done. Apparently it was an anonymous tip, which is not so anonymous now because I just saw the guy who called it in on the news a moment ago. But yeah, a citizen saw him in a McDonald's, believe it or not. Called the police. The police got there. He had already gone, but they began to search the neighborhood and found him just walking down the sidewalk a few blocks away. But thank you to an alert citizen. All right, that's breaking news. Let me tell you another story that broke yesterday, and I wasn't on the air to talk about it. So, Copper, did Sean Sullivan, did he talk yesterday about what Governor Ivey said about gambling?
He did.
Did he really? Who did he talk about it with? Just by himself, or did anybody engage the topic?
A little bit with Casey Wardinsky, I think.
Well, I've got more info. Okay. So, Brandon Mosley. Do you know Brandon by any chance?
No, I don't.
Okay. Brandon's one of the guys who writes for 1819 News. So, I see this story yesterday on 1819. And it says that Governor Ivey expressed that the failure of the gambling legislation was her biggest regret. And I thought, what? She did not say that. Surely not. She did. Well, that was an 1819 reporter named Brandon Mosley who got her to say that. And he didn't trap her. In fact, he even had somebody, I know for a fact he had one guy who's still a lobbyist and stuff in Montgomery who called him and said, what do you mean laying a trap like that for the governor? Laying a trap? I asked her a question and she just answered it. But see, here's the thing. It is widely speculated in Montgomery that there is such a tight control on her comings and goings and her sayings because you don't know what's going to happen sometimes. I'm not implying anything about her cognitive ability. I'm not doing that. What I'm saying is, though, there is a sort of a belief that they have to sort of control the flow, if you know what I mean. I mean, you can look at some people like Trump or Ron DeSantis, and it's obvious they will say what they want to say when they say it, but that's just because they can. Not so much in Montgomery right now with the governor. Well, yesterday, though, was a political event. By law, her governor's administration staff cannot go with her to a political event and be in charge. It's a different category. She was there to receive an endorsement from the NRA, I believe. So while she's there, I saw Brandon Mosley yesterday. I said, "Hey, man, you wrote that story. Wow, how'd that go down?" He goes, "Well," he said, "we finished up the press conference, and there was like this moment there where you could ask questions, and I was just standing right in front of her, and I said, 'Hey, Governor, what's your biggest regret from the legislative session?'" And she just up and says, and in fact, here's the question. He says, "Governor, you got much of your agenda passed during the recent legislative session. What, if anything, is your greatest regret of this session where things didn't quite go like you planned?" And she just up and says, "I was disappointed they did not get the gambling bill passed." No one expected her to ever say that. That's the last thing in the world she needs to say for people like Tim James and Lou Burdett and Lindy Blanchard, who are just literally smelling blood in the water right now. So I got to say, I mean, I haven't even touched really my triple dipper. This story was just too big. But having spoken to Brandon Mosley, the author of the article, and how that went down, I told him, I said, "Man, you got the scoop of the campaign season there," because Governor Ivey has been very noncommittal about the gambling bill. You know, just kind of hanging. You know, not saying much. Last year she said a little too much, but it kind of went by the wayside. It was all the if the legislature wants to move this, we'll work it out. No. Now her biggest disappointment is that they didn't expand casino operations. It was not a question of whether or not it was not a question of whether or not we improve the fact that we are 50th in the nation in education. That was not our biggest regret. It was not the idea that we lacked any major tax cuts, despite the fact that we have record surplus revenues in the state of Alabama. No, not at all. It was not the lack of school choice measures that were put in place in a very red state on what is considered to be a very red issue. It was not the fact that she had shuttered businesses during COVID and had taken no real steps to do anything to help those businesses and is being sued for it now. It was not the fact that she's been asked to freeze gas taxes to help people out at the pump for the gas tax that she helped raise. It was not the fact that we have a lack of fiscal restraint right now in Alabama as she has helped to grow government. I mean, no, none of that was her regret. Her biggest regret is that she didn't get more casinos. Huh. Well, the other campaigns have already come out swinging, and you can imagine. I mean, it's just amazing. So right now, 1819, well, they got the story, and it's being quoted by other mediums now. I mean, 1819 got the scoop on that one. By the way, folks, I talk about 1819 news all the time. This is a good on them kind of moment. This is the kind of thing that is news, and they were right to ask the question. So Lou Burdett, who's going to be on later, he comes out saying education should be our top priority, not gambling. Expanding casinos brings in organized crime, higher cases of sex trafficking, increased addiction, mental health issues. He says, "I wonder, after hearing our governor's comments, does Kay Ivey care about these issues, or does she just care about the special interests of casino gaming?" He goes on to say, "Money seems to set the priorities in Montgomery." He'll probably say that again later on the air. Lindy Blanchard, she comes out and says, "Governor Ivey has shown yet again that she is tone deaf to the serious problems facing our state. What our state needs is leadership that will acknowledge our difficult problems and set out to solve them." Tim James, a little more abbreviated, but yet just as blunt. He says, "We're 52nd in math, and the governor's biggest regret is not passing gambling. Governor Ivey's priorities are misplaced." So here's the deal. This is not designed to be a Governor Ivey bashing session. It's not. But she said it. She said it in the middle of a hotly contested primary. She said it where she, as the incumbent, has still not polled consistently above 50%, and she's got seven opponents in the primary race. She said it at a time when the last major poll that we have shows that 21% of the voting populace is considered to be undecided, meaning that she's really not resonating right now. If she's the incumbent with a long history of being the governor for the last 6 years, the lieutenant governor for 6 years prior to that, the state treasurer prior to that, working in the, what was it, the Bob James administration, I believe, at some point. She's been around state politics. Her name ID is through the roof. People know who she is. And 21% are undecided, and she drew 7 primary opponents. That's what she just did by making that statement yesterday. What 1819 got her to say is literally like, you know, handing the Willy Wonka gold ticket to the other candidates. It's that big a deal. So we'll see how this plays out. But if, I mean, I happen to know the guys at 1819, and I'm pretty sure they've got the audio. So I'm pretty sure that someone's going to be trying to find that audio sometime soon. And there's going to be a campaign commercial with her saying, "My biggest regret is not passing gambling." Wow. All right, I didn't even get to my triple dipper yet, but Copper, go ahead and take us to a break. Let's do that real quick. Take that first break of the show. Come back and wrap up a little bit, and then top of the hour, State Senator Bill Holtzclaw calling in, running for his old seat against current State Senator Tom Butler. We'll talk to him, see what all's going on. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back. News Talk 770 AM, 92.5 FM, WVNN, Right Side Radio, solid conservative and just plain right. So, yeah, listen, I've got all these news sources that I pull from, right, every single day. And you hear me talk about 1819 News a minute ago, landing that major quote from the governor yesterday that is now being just basically pasted all over every social media account from all the other campaigns. Well, that's 1819 News. I mean, other sources were there. Was anybody else going to ask her a question? Apparently not. So that's the kind of news sourcing you can get from 1819. It was not mean-spirited. The article reads clearly and directly, but it was what she said, and nobody else was asking, so they did. And now we know. 1819 News is one of the most reliable sources that I go to. I know all the guys who run the place. They are committed to the idea that news should be news, an editorial should be editorial, a bright line between the two, but yet at the same time, you can also tell the news that makes you proud about where you live. And I love that. I love the idea that I can go read the news at 1819, find out what's happening around my state. At the same time, if I want to, they got some of the best editorial writing. I mean, it's just good. Check them out, 1819 News at 1819news.com, named for the year that Alabama became a state. And they are kicking it right now. In fact, they are wearing out the other news sources here around the state. Yeah, that's as good. 1819news.com. You check them out. All right, so some things that I've got. So my first part of the Triple Dipper, I call it Why Do We Do What We Do? And in a minute, we're going to have State Senator Bill Holtzclaw on with me, former state senator. He and I served together for 8 years down in Montgomery. Got elected at the same time, decided to leave at the same time. Sat together for 8 years on the floor of the Senate. There's a lot of things we do that make Alabama unique. Okay, first of all, let me just tell you, in case you didn't already know, Alabama has one of the most unusual budgeting systems of any in the nation. Now, that being said, we are also one of the few states that has a true balanced budget requirement in our Constitution. Our state Constitution, Section 213 of the Constitution of 1901, Amendment Number 26, requires that we have a balanced budget every year. We cannot increase debt for the sole purpose of increasing debt. We can have some limited exceptions. We can have some things like in order to repel invasion, suppress insurrection, And then only by concurrence of two-thirds of the members of the House can we, or the legislature, can we do that. All that to say, that's been a lifesaver because the Democrats controlled the Alabama State House for 136 straight years. It was only in 2010, after 136 years since the period of Reconstruction, that Republicans took control of the Alabama State House. Now, in some ways, you wouldn't know by certain bills that are passed who's in charge down there, because you can't tell a Republican from a Democrat on some of the bills. But in terms of things like, you know, balancing the budgets and rolling back some of the spent, I mean, this past year has been a spending spree. But nonetheless, things changed in 2010. Because we have a balanced budget amendment, we are not saddled with amazing amounts of unparalleled debt like you see in certain states like Illinois. Okay, that being said, though, how many of y'all are aware of the fact that Alabama has two budgets? A lot of folks, I mean, I went down to Montgomery and there were so many things that I thought I understood about state politics that I'd never seen. One of the things I became very familiar with, especially after I got there, was the fact that we have two budgets in Alabama. Why do we do that to ourselves? It's impossible. We are one of the most earmarked states in the nation. Why do we do what we do? Well, we do it because at some point in the past, the education educrats, basically, and the teachers union were able to segregate out education spending and make sure that everything in the world education got put into one budget by itself and that none of those funds could transfer to help other things. They were locked in. They were earmarked. On top of that, they also got it worked out through their legislative cronies to make sure that what we call the growth revenues, like things that go up in a good economy, like in a good economy, you're going to have more sales tax revenues. You're going to have more payroll tax revenues. Those things go up. Those are what we call growth taxes. When the economy grows, those grow. Well, there's other taxes that don't tend to grow much. Things like property tax, they kind of remain stagnant, steady, no matter what. They're right there where they are. Well, all the growth taxes, for the most part, feed education. So when the economy's good, education has more budget, and everything else that takes to run the state, like, you know, mental health and state troopers and the court system and building roads and bridges and, you know, whatever else, all that sits over there in what's called the general fund budget, stagnant. Look at the amount of money being spent. The education budget, over $8 billion this year. The general fund, which is everything else it takes to run the state, right at about $2 billion or a little over. Major disparity. Why is that? Because we have two budgets. Alabama is one of only three states in the nation that has two budgets. Makes it impossible to appropriate funds sometimes to fix and fill the holes because we're so earmarked and they're bifurcated. There's a bright line between the two budgets. All right, we're going to keep talking about things like why do we do what we do? And I'm going to first take a break from that and talk about why do we do what we do with Bill Holtzclaw running for Alabama State Senate, where he served for 8 years trying to get his old seat back from Tom Butler. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio, solid, conservative, and just plain right. We'll be right back.